Hi, I'm Zining Xu, Dr. Z, Microsoft Architect Evangelist. With me today is Paul Stubbs. We are going to talk about some new user interface. But before we get started, Paul, would you like to introduce yourself?
Thanks. So my name is Paul Stubbs. I'm a technical evangelist for SharePoint. I work in DPE, which is the Developer Platform Evangelism Team. And we focus on SharePoint, Office, UC, and CRM.
SharePoint 2010 comes with a lot of new and improved features. And in particular, there are new features related to the user interface. Could you give us an overview of what are those new things that help a user experience?
Yeah. So some of the great features that we've done in SharePoint is that we now have support for IE, Firefox, and Safari on the Mac. But really what drives that ability to support those browsers is the changes that they've made in the underlying way that SharePoint renders. And some of those changes are to be XHTML1 compliant, which includes standard CSS-based div positioning. It includes, regular CSS files and just basic HTML that any ASP.NET developer will use. Gone are things like CAML for rendering, which is the collaborative application markup language. You no longer need to do that for generating your pages. Almost all of the table-based formatting has all been removed, so that makes it very easy now to generate pages and to build really highly customized branded SharePoint. That really makes the foundation of the new SharePoint structure really solid to build on, and there are a number of new components and UI things that we can build on. For example, the most obvious one is the ribbon. It's the most noticeable change that you see in SharePoint. You have the same ribbon that we see in all the Office applications now we have in SharePoint. We have new features such as the dialogue framework. One of the great things about SharePoint now is that it's based on this Ajax paging model. So in other words, you really don't need to leave the page very often. Everything will be pulled in an Ajax fashion. And the dialogue framework is the way that you really use that and leverage that Ajax-based framing to have a nice modal dialogue experience. Other areas of features for UI that help users are things like the status bar. The status bar is the yellow or red or green bar that you see across the top of your Outlook applications today, and you see that in SharePoint as well, notifying you that files are checked out or the files are not available or they're locked or other status information you'll see in that. And then finally, we have this new notification feature, which is kind of like Toast. It pops up a little notification message that lasts for 5 seconds and then slowly fades away. And that's really good, especially in the Ajax paradigm, where you're doing things kind of behind the scenes to let the users know that things are still happening on the page, that they're not, the page isn't complete. And then kind of more of the branding side to make it look nice, we now have a new rebuilt theming engine. The way that we support themes now is totally different in the new version. It's really based upon Office theme files, which are the standard THMX files. So all of these new features really start with the platform as being totally rewritten with standards, and then it makes it easy for SharePoint team to create these new components, and then that makes it easy for you as a developer to reuse and reconsume and create new applications based on those components.
So from a user perspective, to use ribbons, do they really need to have Office installed? And then for theming files, how they can really use that? Can you explain how that works?
So the ribbon in SharePoint is totally, again, written in just HTML and CSS and div. So you don't require Office for that. There's no need to have the Office client to run the ribbon. They're totally separate. And so the experience for using the ribbon in SharePoint is exactly the same experience as you use in Office, the client. They've done a really good job of really mirroring that exact same experience, including things like contextual tabs. So as you click on different elements, web parts, or images in your page, you'll get new contextual tabs show up on top on your ribbon so you can do things specifically with photos, for example. So if I'm doing web content management and I'm editing the page and I click on a photo, I'll get a photo context sensitive ribbon that allows me to resize it or formatted or change the shape or the image or do different things to the photo. And so all of that stuff is exactly the same. The end users just get that, you know, right? And you know, we've been down the ribbon path for a number of versions of the client. So it is familiar to users right away, and it becomes very productive for them right away. Now, in terms of the theme file, it's really great that they've switched to the theme files, because as a power user or site collection administrator, you can go in there and just select your theme file you want to, and that'll change, you know, some of the basic things about the site, such as some of the colors and fonts that you can pick your theme. But as a user, you can create your own themes because they're just the standard theme files. And so you end up using PowerPoint as the theme generator file, or the theme tool developer thing that you would use, which is PowerPoint. So you just go into PowerPoint, and you know, you set the colors in PowerPoint on your slides like you normally would, and then you can just save that theme file directly from PowerPoint as a, you know, mytheme.thmx file. You just go to SharePoint and upload that theme file, and then you can now immediately use that theme file right out of the box. So it's very easy for users and people that understand design to create theme files and then apply them to SharePoint with, you know, with no code, just, you know, clicking on the user interface.
Ribbon is a really nice feature to have. You mentioned Office, even Windows 7, you know, supports Ribbon. But, you know, in some cases that customers may say, we actually do not really want a Ribbons for a good reason. But is that something could easily be done?
Yeah, so, you know, fundamentally, SharePoint is an ASP.NET application at its core, right? And so you can do any level of branding all the way from out of the box to the fanciest site you could imagine. So whether you have the ribbon on there or not, that's your decision to make. And when you create the master pages for those sites, you can easily choose to put the ribbon at the bottom of the page, or to put it someplace else in the middle of the page, or whatever you choose to do. They're not conventional, so I wouldn't recommend doing that. But also, you can easily just not include the ribbon and totally hide it as well. Now, of course, it'd be up to you to then re-implement whatever the functionality of the ribbon is in your own menuing structure or whatever you want to do, but it's perfectly fine and valid
well,
to do.
I would like to look at these new enhanced features from a development perspective. For example, how a developer can really take advantage of the ribbon feature, mm-hmm. you know, versus theme files and all that. Are there any APIs they can use? How do they do, you know, what do they need to do to really add those customizable features in SharePoint solution?
So the ribbon is in SharePoint is actually highly customizable. And it's fundamentally the same concept that you would do when you do client-side ribbon development. You have an XML file that declaratively defines what the ribbon is and the structure of the ribbon. So you can do things to the ribbon like add new tabs or add new groups or add new controls, buttons and such into the ribbon and create your own ribbon. But you can also do things that you can't necessarily do on the client, which is like I can override existing items. So that I could do, like for example, if I have the new folder button, maybe I don't want my users to create new folders. So I could change the implementation of the new folder button so that when they click on it, it does something else. Or I could just totally completely replace the new folder button. The icon would be something else or whatever, right? Or I could even just hide the new folder button. So I have all the options, create new buttons, override existing controls, and I can even hide existing controls, right? So it really gives you the flexibility to control those aspects that you want to see. And so that's one aspect of that ribbon. Other areas that I can customize is the site actions menu. When you click on the site settings down the side, I can customize that by adding new controls and hiding controls and doing things in there. I can also customize the drop-down list that you see when you click on an item in an individual list. You can add or remove items from that list. You can customize the ribbon that's shown when I edit the properties. I get a dialog, and in that dialog is an edit page. I can actually add ribbon elements to those edit pages as well. And so really every aspect of the ribbon kind of UI and listing and that type of stuff is all customizable. And again, it's all done in XML. So as you guys know, SharePoint has the concept of packaging. Packages contain features, and features contain elements. And so you define an element file with a custom action for the ribbon, and then you can simply define your tabs and groups and controls within that ribbon. And then once you do that, then you just deploy that to SharePoint as a feature, and then SharePoint automatically will merge all those changes, do the right thing, and display your ribbon accordingly. Unfortunately, there are no tools to do this. We didn't ship a designer. Unfortunately, we tried to get to it, but there wasn't enough time. So there's no visual designer to do this type of work. And so doing the XML can be a little bit tedious, especially if you're new to it. One of the things that we have on our team that we ship to CodePlex is a Visual Studio extension. And so in the Visual Studio extension, you just simply say, file new add new item, and then you say server ribbon, and it'll actually generate a starting ribbon for you. It'll take you through a wizard asking you what's the name of your tab, what's the name of your group, what list do you want to put it on, where do you want to store the images, and then it'll generate an element that has all of those things built in, showing you some examples. So it's really awesome. We've gotten great feedback on this thing, and so it generates all the XML files for you. And then it has every single possible control that you could put onto a ribbon also in the generated file commented out, so that if you want to go see how flyout menus work or gallery type things work and drop down lists and split buttons and such, you can see what that XML looks like and see how to use it. But in addition to that, when you install the extension, we also install code snippets for every one of those control. So once you move along and you're more of an expert and you start these from scratch, you can simply just go and add a new snippet into your existing ribbon, and from that list pick one of the controls, and we automatically generate all of the correct XML for that. And so that's out on CodePlex. It's under, you just search for VSIX, so V6 for SP for SharePoint, and you'll find that out there. And so that's a great tool. We've gotten a lot of great feedback on how to do that.
Now, you mentioned that theme files, there's, you know, import, export wizard, you can use PowerPoint to do that. But for developers, how do they actually really customize those theme files? What tools are available?
Yeah. So even for developers, I think they'll still do it the same way. But what's really interesting in the theme space for SharePoint now for developers is that the way that SharePoint uses these theme files, right, is that they actually convert the theme file into CSS. So we talked in the beginning about standards-based CSS, div tag positioning, but that includes the theme files, right? So when you have like a background color coming from a theme file, that's actually coming from a CSS file. So what's interesting is that when you add your theme, SharePoint will convert that theme into CSS. But as a developer, many times you want to create your own CSS files. You want to define, you know, new positioning or whatever you want to do with CSS. And now what you can do is we can actually write theme-aware CSS files. And so that allows you as a developer to create branded sites that honor the theming that the user implies, right? Because I could create a CSS file that says the background color should be white. But when I apply a theme, the user expects that background color changes. So how do you do that as a CSS developer? Well, what we have now is we have these theme hints, and they're basically a special syntax, a comment that you put in front of each one of your CSS elements that specifies which theme piece that you want to pick up. So if I had a background color, I would say, if there's a theme applied, then take accent color 1 would be the background color. And it overrides my CSS, my custom CSS branding. And so it really gives you a nice way to honor those wishes of the users, because users like to customize their stuff, right? I mean, think about the first thing you do to Facebook, the first thing you do to Windows, the first thing you do to MySpace is you go in there and you move things around and you make it your own personal, you set the wallpaper, whatever you do, right? People like to personalize their stuff. And so you want to create designs and branding that lets people honor those changes and use those in ways that make sense for your brand. And so now with having this structure, you can easily do that, right? You can apply those themes and apply that branding easily to your site.
Paul, you mentioned the theme-aware style sheet files, basically, you know, you have notes and all that, comments. Mm-hmm. Is that SharePoint a specific implementation?
Yeah, so that the SharePoint theme engine generates those CSS files. And then so your pages use those derived CSS files once it all gets generated into the final form. It's interesting that we looked at this model and we thought about it for other applications because we thought it was sort of an interesting paradigm architecturally. And so one of the areas that we thought about was around Silverlight, you know. And the problem is Silverlight's great, but you add Silverlight to SharePoint as a web part, for example, and it doesn't really look like the rest of the site that it's sitting in, right? You have some fancy, maybe a black background for your Silverlight application, and then you put it in some nicely branded SharePoint site. It just kind of sticks out, right? It doesn't really feel like it belongs there. So we thought about how we could make that better. And so what we came up with was we wrote a sample application out on CodePlex that takes a Silverlight application, and the Silverlight application will automatically read the theme files and generate a Silverlight theme file. So just like SharePoint generates CSS themes, we'll generate Silverlight themes that your Silverlight applications can use. So as the user changes the theme, your Silverlight applications embedded in your SharePoint site automatically roll to the new theme, but it's based upon the generated Silverlight theme. So it really allows your Silverlight applications to also participate in the rich branding story that is SharePoint 2010. We hope to make it better, and you know, in the future, we're working with the SharePoint team to help them bake that into the product more tight. But for right now, the solution works really great, and it's actually a very interesting approach. And you can create really rich themes. There's a new theming engine inside of Silverlight 4 to allow you to do dynamic theming. And one of the things we did as part of this project is we actually worked with the Silverlight team, and we got the features into Silverlight 4 that we needed to actually enable this capability. And it was really around enabling dynamic theming. And so the dynamic theming of this aspect will actually go out and read a dynamic theme file off the internet just based on an URL. So I can just pass in a single property for that. But the way we did it was really interesting is that it can be applied to anything. So we're using it to generate Silverlight themes based on a SharePoint theme, but this could be used on any ASP.NET application. You could just put your theme files in your ASP.NET site, and this feature of Silverlight that we had them build for SharePoint will actually work on any ASP.NET.
So could you help us understand, you know, how the master page works and how customization to the master page works?
Yeah. So, I mean, fundamentally, the whole master page infrastructure is really how you brand SharePoint, right? How you make SharePoint not look like SharePoint, right? It's based on the ASP.NET framework. So if you understand master pages in ASP.NET, it's fundamentally the same. And then within master pages, we have things we call page layouts, where master page is really around the Chrome, so like things you would see at the top of the page and things you would see at the bottom of the page really is in the purview of the master page. Then we have this concept in SharePoint of a page layout, which really is almost like you can almost think of it as a nested master page. It's like another page layout structure that defines what's in each page. And you'll see that in SharePoint, like sometimes there'll be the menu down the left, and sometimes there'll be a wiki page, sometimes it'll have web part zones on the top and bottom, sometimes it's on the side and the middle. Those definitions are defined in what we call the page layout. And then within the page layout, there's a region that you can actually add controls. And some of those may be web part zones, or they may be new wiki zones and things like that. And that's kind of the hierarchy of developing sites in SharePoint. What's different now in 2010 is that by removing all of the junk, the camel, and all the tables, it's fundamentally got much, much easier. And so really, if you know how to do normal ASP.NET development, you can very easily get up to speed quickly and do SharePoint branding. And we've seen a lot of people make that move. They had no experience in SharePoint, and within just a couple weeks after learning all the new CSS elements and things like that, get up to speed very quickly. But fundamentally, the way the master page is laid out is that what makes it different from ASP.NET is that there are a number of controls, if you will, in the master page that are required. And it kind of throws people because we have all of these controls that have to be on the master page because someplace else down the line depends upon rendering content in one of those controls. So, for example, the ribbon is a control that you add to your master page, and control meaning a div tag in this case, in the term of control. So there's a div tag that you have to add that contains a region for setting the footer or a navigation region or whatever. So all of these different regions, and there's a lot of them, are needed in a master page, and that adds some complexity to it. One of the things that we have, the community builds a lot of these things we call minimal masters, the master page. What is the minimum amount of stuff I need to have basically a blank master page? Because a blank master page in SharePoint always has stuff in it. Now, what's different is that you can hide a number of elements. So that's really how you do it, right? So you add all the required elements, but they're just not visible. And that's sort of the trick behind master pages. But once you do that, once you learn that, and once you get over that, you can create extremely rich sites. And the one that we look at a lot is Ferrari.com. If you take a look at Ferrari.com, that's a public website. They're doing that today. That is really, to me, the extreme end of branding and what you can do to master pages. But there are a whole bunch of sites out there, both internally and externally, that have branded sites, and you would never know that they were SharePoint-based. So really, the sky's the limit in terms of branding. It can be as leave it as out of the box as you want to, all the way up to extreme branding sites.
Well, I really want to thank you for this awesome discussion. A lot of stuff about the new user interface, user experience. I really appreciate your time.
Good. Yeah, thank you for having me.